Friend in Christ, this morning our scripture reading encourages us to view the entirety of the scriptures in terms of water. So the image is water coming to us in various forms. In the opening verse of Isaiah 55, the Lord says, "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters." And when I hear that, I think maybe of a fountain or maybe of a sea or an entire ocean. Come to the waters. Then the Lord speaks to those who have no money. It shifts a little bit. He says, come, buy and eat, buy wine and milk without money or cost. And when I think of wine and milk, now I'm seeing a table and I'm seeing a pitcher or maybe a bucket of water, and it's being transformed into wine like Jesus did, or into milk. The scriptures are transforming the way Jesus transforms water into wine. And then if we go all the way down to verse 10, we get yet another variation on the water image. Now we can picture the scriptures, God's word, coming to us as rain or snow, because the Lord says, as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and they do not return to heaven without watering the earth. Well, that's what my word is like, says the Lord. It's like rain. It's like snow. So that's an image that we can get, at least in part, especially if we stretch our imaginations a bit and exercise some flexibility. We've got a seaside, a fountain, a pitcher of water. We've got rain. We've got snow. There's also fields then, when we think of Jesus as the Word of God, planting the Word of God. All kinds of things are coming up, but we want to focus on the centrality of the image, which is more important. The most important is that the Word of God is Jesus himself. And so amidst all these images of the scriptures, we want to see the Word, Jesus himself. And when we do that, when we start to encounter Jesus more and more in the Word that's like water, when we encounter Jesus there, then we're sharing an experience that countless Christians have shared of meeting Jesus in the scriptures as if it's a love letter from God that Jesus makes into life-giving fountains for us. So let me give just an example or two, as briefly as I can, of how this can work, because this is what we can seek together this morning. I could give one example, starting, say, with Tim Keller, who's a well-known preacher and writer. And he talks in one of the books he wrote, a book on the Gospel of Mark, but really about Jesus as revealed in the Gospel of Mark. Tim Keller writes about his relationship with the scriptures. And what he says is that he grew up in a Christian home, and he attended a Christian church. And so for all the beginning years of his life, he had heard and read sections of the Bible many times. But then he says, during his college days, somehow a change came over him. And if you think of a before and after in his relationship to the scriptures, what he says is that in the before part, in the beginning part of his relationship with the scriptures, he would read it and he would pose questions and he'd explore it, he'd examine it, which is all good things to do. But then as he was going through this change, something even better happened. What he found was that the scriptures began to question him. The scriptures began to examine and explore his life. And here he was able to find out sort of a clue as to what was going on in the story of yet another Christian teacher. This is a French Reformed or Huguenot teacher named Emile Callier, who talks about a similar experience in a book he wrote called Journey into Light. And in Emile Callier's case, the story is that he actually grew up in an unbelieving family in a militantly secular society, and so he felt kind of lost and was looking for life, looking for a book that would understand him and know him, and he was reading as voraciously as he could, just couldn't find the book that would speak to him. So then he thought, well, maybe I can make a book. He started taking all quotes and thoughts and putting them in a notebook, still again looking for a book that would know him, that would give him life, and never finding it. And then one afternoon, his wife had gone out with their little child and had run into a French Reformed Huguenot pastor. And without planning to, she asked him for a Bible. And he gave it to her. And she brought it home, and Emile Callié asked if he could read it. And he started to. He started in the Gospels. He started to immerse himself in the Gospels. And what he found was not only letters on a page, he found that he was encountering a person. He was not only reading about Jesus in the Scriptures, he was meeting Jesus through the Scriptures. And Tim Keller says, that's basically what happened to me. That what happens to so many people. In the written Word of God, we meet the living Word of God. And so words on a page turn into water that we can drink in and have flow throughout our lives. So again, that's what we can seek together in our worship this morning. Let's see if we can encounter Jesus like a fountain by looking for him and listening for him in our scripture reading. And so the gospel says that Jesus can open our minds to the scriptures. We'll trust him to do that, open our minds, open our imaginations. And now we go back to our passage. And in Isaiah 55 now, it's sort of like the road to Emmaus. Jesus is coming alongside us. He's opening the passage to us. And so Jesus says to you, come. Jesus says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. And now as I picture this, I picture Jesus looking into my eyes, looking into our eyes, and he sees our hearts can go all kinds of different ways. He sees our desires can go all kinds of ways. And so he asks us, why do you spend money on what is not bread? Why do you labor for what does not satisfy? Listen, Jesus says, listen to me. And that's how you can eat what is good. You can delight in the richest of fare. Jesus says, this life-giving water, this food, this bread from God, this will come as you give ear to me. Listen to me, Jesus says. Why? So that you can have life. It's early in Isaiah 55. Listen to me, Jesus says, so you can have life. And now we pause for a minute. And with Jesus in our midst, we start to ask. So let me ask you a question. When you read the scriptures, or perhaps when you think to yourself, you know, I really should read the scriptures more than I do. When you think about your encounter with the scriptures, do you look to and expect in that encounter to meet Jesus giving you life? Is that what the Bible basically means to you? Is that it's a way to meet Jesus giving you life? Or does the should, oh, I should read the Bible, does that kind of turn the Bible more into an obligation, into a duty? That's how it's gone for me, anyway. And you know, obligations and duties are so important, we need them. But is that the central gift that Jesus gives us in the scriptures, or is it what he says in Isaiah 55, that if we listen to him as the Word, in the Word, he gives us life? That's what he says in Isaiah 55, verse 3. Jesus says, give ear, come, listen to me so that you may have life. And then he builds on that and says, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful covenant with David. Now that extends to you. And this is quite an amazing thing that Jesus says to us in Isaiah 55. He's connecting us in a remarkable way with King David. And what he does here is he democratizes, in effect, the royal covenant with all those promises to King David about never removing his steadfast love, always sticking with David and his descendants. And then the Lord expects us, with the help of His Spirit, to listen to that and then to ponder it the way His mother Mary pondered the word from the angel. Well, you know, what does that mean to be connected to David? David was a witness. How are we witnesses like David? How are we different from David? David was a commander of the peoples. How does that apply to us? How is it different in the light of Christ? So Jesus is, through Isaiah, making us, inspiring us to think creatively about our connection to David and the glories of that covenant, what it means in Christ. And then in verse 5, Jesus says something that I suggest blows our minds. It does for me, anyway. In Isaiah 55, verse 5, after connecting us to David, Jesus says, "Surely you will summon nations that you don't even know, and nations that don't know you are going to come running to you." Nations are going to run to you and me. Why? Because we're so awesome? Because nations will run to you, Jesus says, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. So that's what can have us attract people from all different backgrounds together, because the Holy One, the Lord God, is with us. And then comes the last half line of Isaiah 55. This is the one that really kind of stunned me, because here we say Jesus saying, "The Lord has endowed you with splendor." In other translations, maybe more traditional, they say, "The Lord has given you glory." That big biblical word. And let me ask now, is that a word you live by? Splendor. Glory. That the Lord gives you. Like when you get up in the morning, when you look in the mirror, you say, "How splendid. The Lord, thank you for all the splendor. Thank you for all the glory I see." Like I say, that I'm still trying to figure out what that means to me, what that means for us all. But it's in the Bible. Jesus is saying that to us. Jesus is wanting us to ponder that and live by it. In some way, we have splendor. In some way, we have a glory. It's from the Lord, but it's in us. That can lead nations to run to us, because God is in us. Well, to me, that Jesus is raising all kinds of questions in this passage, and now I'll share something that helped me, and I think it'll help you too. Something that helped me open my imagination to how the Lord works when He speaks to us in the Scriptures to give us life. And with all that water imagery, what it led me to do was to remember a poem called "The Rain Stick." And I don't know if you've ever seen a rain. Good, thanks. So here's a rain stick. It's made out of cactus. And we can go to the poem. Here's a poem by an Irish Catholic priest named Seamus Heaney called "The Rain Stick." And I think it'll help us hear God. So Heaney writes this: "Up in the rain stick, and what happens next is a music that you never would have known to listen for. In a cactus stalk, downpour, sluice rush, spillage, and backwash come flowing through. You stand there like a pipe being played by water. You shake it again lightly, and diminuendo runs through all its scales like a gutter stopping trickling. And now here comes a sprinkle of drops out of the freshened leaves, then subtle little wets off grass and daisies, then glitter, drizzle, almost breaths of air, up in the stick again. What happens next is undiminished for having happened once, twice, 10,000 times before. Who cares if all the music that transpires is the fall of grit or dry seeds through a cactus? You are like a rich man entering heaven through the ear of a raindrop. Listen now again. Now, we could listen to that poem again, and God could be talking to us, but I think we want to connect it also to the scriptures, to the word. Listen now. Have you read Isaiah 55? There's always more and more to get there. There's always more and more in the whole Bible and in Christ. I think you'll agree, Seamus Heaney has truly perceived the splendor of a rain stick. And he has helped us know that we can enter into the presence of God through a single rain drop. That's how generously God can share his glory. And then I think the Lord would prompt us to ask, you know, he talked about sparrows and stuff. He would say, if God can put so much splendor in a rain stick, how much more splendor in a human person who maybe made the rain stick or wrote a poem about it? And if our Lord has poured so much glory into one rain drop, how much glory can the Lord pour into a whole fountain? And the Bible's like a fountain, and Jesus is in the middle of a fountain. I mean, there is so much glory for us to take in as best we can. And I think Jesus helps us here another time in a gospel scene that's related to Isaiah 55. It comes in John 7. And what happens in John 7 is Jesus is attending these astonishing gatherings that his fellow Jews and he would celebrate called the Feast of the Booths. And at this annual celebration, the Jews would gather to remember how the Lord had provided them in the wilderness. They'd had a tabernacle, they'd had tents, the Lord gave them what they wanted. It's a beautiful celebration. And even though Jesus got into some arguments with his own brothers about this, and later in with some other Jewish teachers, on the last day of the feast, Jesus came up to fulfill the whole feast. The gospel calls this the great day, the last day. And Jesus stands up and he proclaims, if anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. The Feast of Booths included pouring water. They would all know Isaiah 55. Jesus says, if anyone is thirsty, come to me. And in this gospel scene, Jesus is crying from his heart to the deepest desires in our hearts, to our thirsts. And he's saying, if you're thirsty, come to me. And then he adds, the people who believe in me, it'll be what the scripture says. Jesus says, as you believe in me, as you drink from me, your heart will overflow with rivers of life. And the gospel writer John explains that Jesus here is speaking about the Spirit, which those who believe in Jesus receive, and the Spirit does this remarkable work as we encounter Jesus in the scriptures. All the water injury comes to fulfillment, and we overflow with waters of life as by word and spirit we encounter Jesus. So anyway, that's why we listen for Jesus in the scriptures. That's what we're experiencing, at least in part, today. We're receiving a river of life from Jesus, and Jesus is speaking to us through a rain stick, through the people around us. He's pouring out, he's saying, seek me while I'm found. You'll find pardon, mercy, forgiveness that will flow and overflow so that we can share. So all that is what can happen as we read the scriptures to meet Jesus. And just a little bit of stuff at the end here. It's not going to be an easy or automatic encounter. You know, we're not always going to have a whoosh experience when we read the scriptures. In fact, if we read the scriptures, there are going to be times when we're talking to God and saying, why? You know, how long? All kinds of things will happen. We won't know all that God is doing, but we'll have this unfailing word to accomplish God's purpose with thoughts that are higher than us, with ways that are different from our ways. God, through his word, is going to accomplish his purpose. And now, this is the final question, and I'm going to ask the children to help us think about this. Just answer for yourselves, God's purpose in his word. What is his purpose? Why is God speaking to us in his word today? What's he for sure going to accomplish? And to help us answer that question, I'm going to ask the children, first through fifth grade, are you willing to come up and bring a Bible with you? Could you bring a Bible? Come up, bring a Bible. I think you'll be glad you came up. Because I'm going to do something that I learned from Jesus' people, the Jews. They like their kids to read the Bible. They call it the Torah. And what they do is, to show them how good the Bible is, they put a drop of honey on it. So I'm not going to put a honey on your Bible, but I got a kiss, a Hershey's kiss. So if we hold out your Bible, this is what it's like. And now be thinking and asking, can you get over here? You've got a Bible in your hands. It's sweeter than honey. It's better than a chocolate kiss. What's God going to accomplish? What's Jesus going to accomplish in your life, in our life through the Bible? Did you hear it in our Bible reading? Can you? When Jesus speaks to you the scriptures, it's going to be better than chocolate. What's he going to accomplish? Anybody got a guess? All right. Can you hold it? There you go. What he is going to accomplish is bring us into a world called a new creation. And in that new creation, the mountains and the hills are going to sing, and we'll sing with them. The trees of the field will clap, and we will too, and dance in the new creation. So that's Jesus' goal in the new creation. That was what he will for sure accomplish. And to get in on that, I hope you'll read the Bible for the rest of your lives. Okay? Does that sound worthwhile? And now I'm going to do one more thing that Jesus' fellow Jews teach us. The Jews love the Bible so much, they have a holiday called Simchat Torah, which means joy in the scriptures. So take the kiss off now, hold it in your hands, and let's hold up the Bible. And what they do is, I won't quite do this, but they dance with the scriptures. They dance with it. We'll sort of do that, and we'll do it by, what's the scripture? It's like a fountain of water, right? So we're going to sing. Ready? Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And wide, there's a fountain flowing and wide. And wide, there's a fountain flowing and wide. And there's a fountain flowing. And there's a fountain flowing. Okay. Does that seem what the Bible is to you? Is like a fountain like that? Better than a Hershey's kiss? You agree? Yeah. All right, I'll see you in the new creation. Let's have a prayer. Let's have our closing prayer. What? You what, like to what? Oh, you check with your mom and dad, and you can eat it when they say. But let's have our prayer, okay? Gracious God, we thank you for the Bible, and we thank you for your word, not only in pages, but in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you will for sure lead us into the joy of the new creation. And we know these children will lead the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you can head back to your... You're welcome. Thank you. You're welcome.